Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Happy Hanukkah to all of you who will begin to celebrate that holiday tonight. The founder of WikiLeaks says perhaps Hillary Clinton should resign. Julian Assange tells Time magazine that Clinton should resign as Secretary of State if it can be shown that she was responsible for ordering U.S. diplomatic figures to engage in espionage in the United Nations in violation of the international covenants to which the U.S. has signed up. That's a quote. And here is Assange making that statement. The audio is not very good, but this is Assange via Skype, literally from an undisclosed location, because he's also being searched for by law enforcement. But Julian Assange from somewhere in the world via Skype to Time magazine.
I don't think it would make much difference either way. But she should resign if it can be shown that she was responsible for ordering U.S. Diplomatic figures to engage in espionage activities at the United Nations in violation of the international covenants to which the U.S. has signed up. Yes, she should resign over there.
WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. On NBC's Today Show this morning, White House spokesman Robert Gibbs responded to those words.
Our diplomats are just that, Meredith. They're diplomats. I don't know why on earth we would even solicit the opinion of somebody that has been an accomplice in a great security breach that threatens the people that do good work on behalf of keeping this country safe. Secretary Clinton is doing a great job, and that interview and that statement that he made are both ridiculous and absurd, and I don't know why anybody even listens to him.
And to get more technical on that, the State Department confirmed yesterday that there were secret instructions to American diplomats to gather sensitive personal information about foreign leaders. They said it originated from the U.S. intelligence community, that would be not the State Department, but did not require diplomats to spy in any case. The State Department cables released by WikiLeaks included requests for DNA and biometric data on foreign officials. With reaction to all of this and his thoughts on other aspects of the WikiLeaks State Department documents is Gideon Rose, editor-in-chief of Foreign Affairs magazine. He was a staff member of President Clinton's National Security Council. He was the associate director of Near East and South Asian Affairs. And you may remember he was here recently to talk about his new book, How Wars End, Why We Always Fight the Last Battle. So Gideon Rose, welcome back to WNYC.
It's good to be here, Brian.
So first on this asking diplomats to spy, is it clear to you from these cables what exactly diplomats at the UN or in embassies overseas were being asked to do?
Look, one of the things that diplomats do is they gather information and report back to central headquarters. They also gather all sorts of various different kinds of material that might become necessary or useful. It's not entirely clear exactly what they were asked to do in this case. There's no reason to believe it violated any laws or is entirely inappropriate. And frankly, Julian Assange's thoughts about foreign policy and responsible professional behavior are about in the same category as the Unabomber's thoughts on technology. Perhaps interesting for obsessives in the case, but not something other people should really care about.
You put him in a category with the Unabomber?
Well, in terms of being an intellectual with regard to his subject, the Unabomber actually killed people directly. I don't think that Assange has done anything like that. So no, he does not belong in the category of immediate use of violence. But why anybody cares what he actually has to say on the subject or takes him seriously as an intellectual or a theorist is beyond me.
On this collection of information about other diplomats, whether it's, you know, requests for DNA and biometric data on foreign officials, which sounds like it's personally intrusive. The Times refers to it today as a Bush administration policy continued by the Obama administration. Would Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, have known about this or have needed to authorize it?
This the Secretary of State is, in one sense, responsible for everything that happens beneath her operations. But the entire mass of U.S. foreign policy and the entire behaviors, I highly doubt this was a matter of great import or something that she personally took very seriously or necessarily even know about. It's simply not a big deal. And the idea that anything we've found out about in the WikiLeaks exposures are telling us dramatic new things or revealing any kinds of crimes or great conspiracies or evils, I think just isn't the case.
Just before we move on from this topic, requests for DNA, as well as biometric data, what is that if not spying?
Well, it could be a whole variety of things. It could be we have no idea what exactly was asked for. We don't know what this particular program was responsible for. We don't. It could be for something as serious as making sure that we have security information that so somebody else couldn't impersonate an official. It could be that we wanted that for our own ability to interrogate or get into their records. Basically, everybody spies on everybody else. This is common knowledge. And maybe it was wanting to get information so as to be able to penetrate their own intelligence networks or internal communications things down the road. I have no idea, but I have no reason to believe anything significantly untoward was going on.
So listeners, in your opinion, is WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange right to call on Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to resign if she ordered American diplomats to spy at the UN? We have that as a poll question on our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. And you can call in with your answers right now on the air as well, 212-433-WNYC. In your opinion, is WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange right to call on Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to resign if she ordered American diplomats to spy at the UN? 212-433-9692, or respond to the poll on itsafreecountry.org. But have you had another way that you can call in and answer this question is, have you, like maybe our guest Gideon Rose, had just about enough of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange by now? One journalist friend of mine, very into freedom of the press, asked me today, who is he to call for Hillary Clinton to resign just because he was a conduit for some documents, which I guess is about what you said a minute ago, Gideon.
Yeah, this is basically like the Stieg Larsson novels, except the main protagonists aren't good guys exposing real conspiracies and crimes, but a bunch of irresponsible and malevolent children getting in the way of the mature adults trying to actually deal with important problems.
And here is former CIA agent and now Time Magazine intelligence columnist Bob Baer on our show yesterday.
Diplomatic channels have always been secret in history, and they always will be. There is no American exceptionalism in any of this. And now we've destroyed this in overnight. It's incredible. So, I'm terribly upset about it. What we did to Saudi Arabia or what we did to China. We depend upon China to deal with North Korea in all senses. The Chinese in particular demand secret communications. There's just no way that we are going to recover from this anytime soon.
So, Gideon, how conflicted are you as a journalist, now truth seeker, but also former National Security Council staffer for President Clinton, about the good and the bad of these cables coming out at all?
Well, you know, look, there are three separate questions. There are those related to the leak in the publication. There are those related to what it actually tells us about what's going on. And finally, there's what can be done about it in the future. With regard to the leak in the publication, I mean, the real problems here are the traitor who leaked the classified information and the fence who took the stolen property and spread it more widely. By the time it got to the newspapers, everybody else was going to do it. So I don't blame the Times or the Guardian, because competitive pressures would have forced them to talk about it the way we're talking about it now. It's like a Bob Woodward book. We all read it. The real guilty person is the schmuck who revealed confidential discussions with the president and then, you know, walked out of the Oval Office and tells Woodward about it. So they should, you know, find the guy who did it and lock him up and throw away the key and do whatever they can to shut down Assange. As for the actual substance of what the cables show, ironically, it's exactly the opposite of what Assange seems to think it shows, which is it doesn't show some kind of malevolent global conspiracy. It shows a bunch of serious people trying to do their jobs properly on behalf of the public interest. The revelations, you know, we just had Thanksgiving. Everybody, a lot of people were home with their families. If you could imagine a WikiLeaks dump on Thanksgiving dinner and it would show that, you know, Aunt Ethel likes her wine a lot, and Cousin Harold was caught watching porn in the upstairs guest room, and everyone thinks Frank's second wife is a spendthrift bimbo. That's about the level of discussions, and only an adolescent would think that being boldly honest about all those things at dinner would be a contribution to serious discussion. In fact, it just makes everybody uncomfortable and gets in the way of real work.
So other than the diplomat spying thing, you could argue that the U.S. comes out looking pretty good here. You were making that case in a way just now, but I think in a way the U.S. comes out looking like the grown-ups in the room in many major foreign policy conflicts. Our position against Iran looks validated when Arab heads of state secretly compare Ahmadinejad to Hitler or ask us to cut off the head of the snake, meaning attack Iran militarily. Same with North Korea, when China is revealed to secretly disapprove of its purported ally. Or Israel, when Netanyahu is revealed to secretly be open to land swaps involving Jewish settlements, as the U.S. publicly calls for.
Yeah, the big story here is that, you know what? A lot of the major policies the U.S. follows are relatively rational and sensible responses to real issues, that we're not lying, we're not cooking things up, that diplomats are not a bunch of crazed conspiracy people trying to manipulate the world, but they're actually trying to deal with real-world problems out there. Now, the fact is that this is news and good news to people who were so naive as to believe that's not how the world worked, but it does get in the way of real diplomacy, and it screws up negotiations. It makes it more difficult. You'll be keeping more things confidential. You'll be doing more conversations over the phone or in person rather than putting them down on paper. And so it just mucks it up for people trying to deal with these issues down the road.
Will in Parsippany, you're on WNYC. Hello, Will. Will, let me try to do that again. Will, I'm sorry. Now I've got you.
Before we immediately discredit this leak, because they really illustrate the vast difference between what is candidly spoken between embassies and what is actually coming out in the media, the way that the perception is managed. There's a vast difference here, and there's a lot of honesty here. And to just say that, you know, this to discredit Assange and WikiLeaks, I mean, this is real truth what's happening. And to say that, you know, we need this secrecy and this privacy to make things happen, I don't really think so. I think that, you know, having an open information, having a well-informed public is vital to a well-functioning democracy. So all this secrecy and misinterpretation, I believe, is it's good to pull back the covers on it if it can wake people up to actually what's happening.
It's not clear to me that this has woken anybody up to anything that's happening that they didn't know already if they were paying attention. And frankly, the kinds of diplomatic infelicities and frankness that have been showed are at the level when, you know, your wife asks you whether she should wear this dress. Does it make her look, you know, fat? And you say, well, maybe you should try the other one, rather than saying, you know, honey, that really makes you look really fat and chunky. You're calling the world leaders, you know, the private conversations that our diplomats have with each other about the problems with foreign leaders are not something that anybody is helped by having revealed. They just make it more awkward and difficult.
But it's not just that, right? And Will, thank you for your call. For example, I was thinking that one revelation in the cables, at least one, seems to play into the theme of your book, How Wars End. Because your thesis is that the U.S. wins almost all its wars militarily, but almost always we also botch the post-war planning. Well, to that point, we have the cable in which the king of Saudi Arabia is quoted saying the Iraq war would end with handing Iraq to Iran on a golden platter, and he was more afraid of Iran. Somehow Bush and Cheney never told us that part.
Well, you know, first of all, the Saudis have their own interests and their perspectives. And the basic reality is the Americans have to think for the entire world and the entire region. And everybody else gets the luxury of, you know, complaining and moaning and whining when something goes right. People were whining about Iraq. They were there when Iraq was dealt with. They're whining about Iran. And yes, Iraq was not handled as well as it could have been. But in some ways, we didn't need the king of Saudi Arabia to tell us that. We can see with our own eyes.
Ed in Soho, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ed.
Yes, Brian. Yesterday, the British Broadcasting Corporation continuously in its programming on NYC described WikiLeaks as whistleblowers. And yesterday, in your very fascinating interview with the CIA agent, at the end, you said, well, Assange is not a warrior. Well, that is very strange, Brian, because Assange himself has said in clear statements that he is, in effect, an enemy of the United States. His intent, which is important, is to weaken the United States of America on the battleground in foreign countries and to weaken us domestically. Democracy is not a suicide pact. I find it extremely disturbing. I don't mean you personally, but some people think this is some example of, you know, some sort of civil libertarian who wants to do good for the world. People should go look at David Brooks' piece in the New York Times.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday, his
really,
column, his column yesterday
is,
about Assange.
I mean, right. This is really a very serious attack on the United States. Now, I don't have an answer as to what to, how to deal with him, although I have my own ideas about the, you know, the applicability of, you know, assassination or whatever. But the bottom line, Brian, is I don't see what's gained by treating this guy's requests seriously. And let me make one last statement. I think this question of his seriousness in asking for Mrs. Clinton's resignation shows you what some of his colleagues have recently discovered who have left the organization. The guy is a bit of a crackpot. He may be very smart, but he's he's more likely, Brian, to be a lunatic than a genius.
Ed, thank you for your call. And you got a big smile out of Gideon Rose here.
Well, you know, it's as if we're all taking these movies and novels too seriously that are based on conspiracy theories and feature some lone hacker or some lone independent investigator hero who decides through their own work that the official investigation and the official structures of authority are covering things up rather than revealing them, and they're going to be the heroic voice of truth. In fact, that's not really the way the real world works. And, you know, this guy is basically a crank who's essentially an old-fashioned anarchist, which is not necessarily an awful evil thing, but it's essentially an adolescent worldview that all power and all authority is bad. Well, you know what? Not all power and authority is bad. And these cables that have been revealed show, actually, U.S. diplomats trying to do the right thing in generally intelligent ways. So, you know, ironically, it proves the opposite of what Assange actually thinks.
Gideon Rose, my guest on WNYC, editor of Foreign Affairs magazine. You know, there are some listeners, I'm sure, like our first caller, who are thinking, well, here are these people from the liberal part of the establishment, like Gideon, who edits Foreign Affairs magazine, which is known to be a progressive publication on foreign policy, would have applauded probably a lot of the other leaked information that's come out in the press over recent years, the Times stories about the wireless, warrantless wiretapping and whatever, probably applauded Daniel Ellsberg once upon a time, or in retrospect, if you're too young, on the Pentagon Papers, now coming out and saying, you know, this guy should just be written off as a crackpot and this is terrorism rather than freedom of information. How do you square that?
Well, I think basically that, you know, we should grow up and recognize that government is full of serious people. You don't have to have an Aaron Sorkin view of the world like A Few Good Men, where Colonel Jessup is on the, you know, the crazy radical nut on the barricades. There are serious people in serious positions trying to deal with serious problems. You look at what is revealed about Iran. You know what? Iran has a nuclear program. It would be bad if Iran got nukes. No one really knows how to stop Iran from getting nukes. We're all trying to debate that. This shows, in fact, that it's not some kind of made-up conspiracy theory, that it's not just George Bush and his loony friends making things up or hyping fears. There are real challenges in the world. We have public officials and public servants trying to deal with them. We now have Obama in charge, Hillary Clinton in charge of the State Department. And, you know, we should basically let them try and do the serious things that need to be done to protect us and run the world properly.
Besides the embarrassment factor and the apologies that, you know, the heavy diplomatic lifting will require at the State Department. What kinds of things do you think are happening, perhaps at your old stomping grounds, the National Security Council? Do you see national security implications These leaks?
I think there are very diffuse and minor national security implications. It's not that someone's going to get killed tomorrow. This is not a Philip Agee-type situation in which they're releasing names of CIA operatives. What it really does is it mucks up the workings of government. It does two things. One is it makes relations difficult with foreigners who now are less likely to confide in us. Second, it makes information flows within government more problematic. You're now going to put fewer things on paper. You're now going to distribute information less widely. And so you know what? One of the problems with 9/11 was we supposedly didn't connect the dots. Well, things like this, by making it more problematic to share information that's classified internally, are going to make it less easy to connect the dots next time. So that's what we have Julian Assange to thank for.
Jay in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jay.
Hi. He's just made my point, is that when I hear Gibbs and your guests talk about it, Assange, you know, we shouldn't address the Hillary Clinton, I don't care one way or the other whether Hillary resigns. But when I hear them attacking Assange instead of dealing with the real problems, I know, you know, this is reminiscent of Bush, and that's why a lot of people on the left don't like Obama, because it's just playing the same cards. But the other thing is, I understand there were 600,000 people who had access to this information. Now, nobody else downloaded it and maybe sold it to another government for money instead of revealing it to WikiLeaks so that it could be made public information. I think the problem is the way that these records are kept and all that. And by not, instead of dealing with that issue, they go, well, let's attack Assange.
Thank you for your call.
I think that what everything the caller just said is true and valid doesn't, you know, you should proceed on multiple fronts. They probably overclassify too much stuff. They probably should keep the information they classify more secure. But all the same, that doesn't mean that every guy who gets it has the right to release anything that they want.
By the way, we've had a pretty big instant response to the poll question that I mentioned on our itsafreecountry.org politics website related to this. Is WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange right to call on Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to resign if she ordered diplomats to spy at the UN? We've had over 100 responses already to this admittedly thoroughly unscientific opinion poll, but I think it's telling, considering that we're in New York. The no's have it by 77%. To 23%. That's 80 of you who went to our site to say no, she shouldn't resign, even if, or he was not right to call on her to resign for this, even if she did it. 80 people said no, 24 people said yes. Just thought you'd like to know that early result, and you can go and add your response as well at itsafreecountry.org. Also on that site, by the way, we have a blog post on this from Reshma Sawjani, who was a Democratic candidate who was a candidate in a Democratic primary for Congress against Carolyn Maloney this year. And she has another take on why this might actually backfire on Julian Assange. She writes, "Transparency for the sake of transparency does not make government more open." She says the consequences of Mr. Assange's conduct will likely have adverse consequences. Unfortunately, in response to WikiLeaks, the Pentagon has increased restrictions on how classified documents will now be handled. And again, if you want to read her whole blog post on that, you can do so at our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. But do you think there would be that actual clamp down on unclassifying or declassifying documents?
Yes, because in fact what happens is government reacts to whatever the biggest last scandal was. And so if you get criticized for keeping things too tight and for not connecting the dots, you lean forward in the opposite direction and you overconnect them the next time, or you share more widely. And now that there's been this big scandal, in order to avoid that, you'll go back to a somewhat more restricted situation until the next time we are accused of not having foreseen something, in which case you'll go to the opposite direction back and forth. Bottom line, I mean, I think that quite separate from the question of whether they should have been leaked or whether what we can do to prevent future leaks, people should actually look at the things they're reading on the cables and ask themselves, okay, you see in this what the world thinks about Iran, what we're trying to do about Iran. Okay, Mr. Bright Guy who wants to criticize the government, what would you do differently about Iran than is currently being done? What is your great idea that is better than what what the Obama administration is doing right now? And if you don't have an answer to that, if you don't have a particularly better policy on Iran that would satisfy all the various interests, then you know what? Maybe you should defer a little bit to the professionals trying to do a decent job on this topic.
Gideon Rose, editor-in-chief of Foreign Affairs magazine. He was a staffer on President Clinton's National Security Council and is author of the new book, How Wars End, Why We Always Fight the Last Battle. Thank you so much. And listeners, again, you can keep posting your comments or respond to that poll on WikiLeaks and Secretary of State Clinton at our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. And coming up next, how health in America has become the new morality. And then we'll begin a December economy series and map project called Rut or Recovery. Stay with us.